The Roman Catholic Church in England and Wales has turned down a request by church members for the results of an unprecedented survey on sexual ethics commissioned by Pope Francis to be made public. The survey was sent last November to Catholic bishops around the world with instructions to consult as widely as possible, and it tackled sensitive subjects such as contraception, cohabitation, homosexuality and so on. The survey was welcomed by rank-and-file Catholics, and now a group which is working for reform in the Church says refusing to publish the results will suggest that the Church is not sincere about sharing responsibility with lay people. Our religious affairs correspondent Robert Piggott has been to Liverpool to meet Catholics who struggled with what they say are outdated rules.
Even among the most devout Roman Catholics packing St Mary's Church in Walton, there are many who admit they break the Church's rules.
As Catholics, you know, we're not meant to use any form of contraception, you know, and that's very unrealistic in lots of cases.
I realised that actually I was a gay man and I felt uncomfortable.
Actually, a lot of my friends aren't married and we're all Catholics.
If you go to church, it's not complete if you don't have a communion. This is at the back, mind those steps.
Ev and Mike Snellham are marriage counsellors and faithful Roman Catholics. For them, rejecting the Church's stern teaching on contraception has been troubling. Ev hopes the survey will persuade the Pope to change the rules.
I think, and I hope he hears from people, that we don't want to live in a contradictory way. That we want to be good Catholics, but we don't want to feel that we're disobeying the Church.
Could you pass the margarine, please?
Kieran Bohan, who lives with his civil partner Warren, dedicated his life to Catholicism before what he saw as the Church's hostility to homosexuality led him to leave in despair.
It's not a decision I've taken lightly either. I mean, as I've said, I was very committed to my involvement in the Church in my 20s and 30s. You know, I got halfway through the process of training to be a priest, which takes 6 years in total. So I spent 3 years doing so. And to leave that, it was a bit like being divorced and made homeless all at the same time.
Come on, then, should we open those carrots, Oscar?
Helen Murphy, who lives in the parish of St Mary's, has three children with her partner, but is not married to him. She says the Church will be the loser if it continues to insist that unmarried couples are living in sin.
The Church are going to have to change their attitudes because people aren't going to go to Mass. They're not going to continue being involved in the Catholic Church if they feel that they are alienated or they're overlooked. You can have a faith in God. You just don't have to follow all the rules that are put down, mainly by men.
Take this, all of you, and eat of it.
But in St Mary's on Sunday morning, Christabel Hardman can't bring herself to break the rules. She was divorced and is now remarried, so Roman Catholic teaching regards her as being in an adulterous relationship and technically not eligible for the Church's most sacred ritual, Holy Communion.
The body of Christ.
I will go up and get a blessing, but I won't, you know, take communion because it's contrary to what you believe, isn't it?
Even St Mary's priest, Father Tim Buckley, believes the Church has got stuck with a sexual morality based on a theology with a limited understanding of sex. Father Buckley says many in his congregation, after completing what was a difficult questionnaire, now want to see the results.
That they would prefer perhaps to come without overmuch discussion at this juncture and just let the bishops have a calm look at everything that's come in. The debate's on, and you can't stop people debating it, so I suppose personally I'd rather see the results.
The BBC's religious affairs correspondent Robert Piggott bringing us that intriguing report. I don't know if either of you are Catholics or non-religious neither, but it seems odd to me, all this.
On the report, I heard one of the representatives of the Roman Catholic Bishops' Council talking about this on the radio this morning, and his argument about not releasing the report was that the report is yet to be discussed by bishops' councils internationally. And his argument was, whether you agree with it or not, was that they didn't want their views to be disfigured in any way by reporting of the report. So they wanted it to be completely pure almost before they got to that point. Now, that was what they said. Now, whether they said that at the very outset when they were doing the survey in the first place, and I don't think they actually referred to it as a survey, but whether they were saying that at the outset, because if they weren't, then they made a mistake, really. They should have said that right from the outset, that we're not going to release the information until it's been fully discussed. But it does, on the face of it, seem a little bit strange that you do a survey, or whatever you call it, and then you don't release the results. And that immediately, rightly or wrongly, makes people a little suspicious as to what's in the report and how the church going to deal with that, you know. But I'm not a Roman Catholic, you know, I'm an Anglican. So, it's interesting to hear the comments of those people up in St Mary's in Wilton. Yeah.
I felt sorry for them. I felt sad.
And it's interesting that you take one church and one parish and there are all those experiences within that congregation, and you can probably guarantee, I'm not sure that everyone else would be as open to discussing this, but if you could go to any Catholic church probably on a Sunday and ask people anonymously those views, you would find people living in sin in inverted commas, or adulterous relationships, or gay, or, you know, people using contraception. You will definitely find them, and I think that's the reality of
interesting, those people were being interviewed at the church, so those were the people who were going, clearly they'd reconcile themselves, or whatever the right word is, to the fact that they were living in a certain way, which was not we were not along the lines of the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, the church that I go to is probably it's probably one of the most sort of eclectic Church of England churches in the city, really. We have people right across the ranges, from people who are recovering addicts, people who are doctors and consultants and lawyers and students, and people who are living with single sex relationships, all sorts of things. And it's a real mix. And at the end of the day, you know, the Bible talks about grace. You know, and it's not about keeping the rules. You know, the rule book went out years ago as far as Jesus was concerned, and it's all about the grace of God.
He actually broke a lot of the rule books. Yeah. That's what he was up to. Yeah. But it, there's a line that's really by one of the women there, and said, these rules, that are all made by men.
Hmm.
I think it's a really good point. I think, how can people who aren't getting married, who are staying single, make any kind of judgment about whether or not you should be or shouldn't be married? I felt sorry for the woman who'd divorced, perhaps an abusive husband, who knows why, some awful reason, remarried, great for her, but she's held by the church in an adulterous situation.
And you've hit the nail on the head, rules. You know, it's all about rules. There's a great, you know, and I'm not trying to preach here, but if anyone's got any concern about that, go and read Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he goes on, he rants at the Galatians about the fact that, you know, they became Christians by grace, and now they've all gone back to keeping rules, rules that were made by human beings, really. And, you know, it's a great, you have a look at that, it's a great way of explaining that, you know, it's rule-keeping is not what it's all about.
I think it's not, but I think you're right. I think it's completely wrong to do a survey and ask people to give information. And the idea, I understand what they're saying, but the fact is you must be sharing it, unless they're going to change it, that you're sharing it with the lay people, that those people who took part should be allowed to see it. And I suspect, I am suspicious, I think the reason it's not being released is it will say the kind of things that those people in St Mary's were saying, that it's daft, and they don't know that. Actually, I've got a lot of time for Pope Francis, and I think that maybe there are others lower down in the hierarchy who are old-fashioned, and he's not. I get the feeling he's forward-thinking.
I think he's absolutely spot-on for the Roman Catholic Church. I think, you know, the longer he's in that position, the more the Church is going to change, and change for it for the better, really. I'm not saying the Roman Catholic Church isn't in a bad position by any means, but I think he's brought a freshness to the leadership. And what would be really interesting to see, because this has been done worldwide, it'd be really interesting to see how
different countries,
African countries,
oh, you know, yeah, exactly.
Very different approach in African countries, in South American countries. Be really interesting to see what those results come out.
Indeed, the Archbishop of Canterbury has been publicly saying he's on a bit of a spot with the gay issue, precisely because of that.
Yeah.
That he knows that if he makes... The impression I get is he would like to stop what I see as nonsense about gay people in churches. But he knows if he does that, he's going to have real trouble holding the international congregation together.
And I think, you know, for non-religious observers, you kind of think, well, just let them go. Do your own thing. And, you know, if you can't reconcile it, the church is well used to dividing and splitting and new people setting up their own churches. it is, you can just see it stretching to breaking point. And I think in the modern world has got to reconcile itself with the church. It's got to.
Eventually, but it takes the church a long time to do things, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, whether you look at the Anglican or the Roman Catholic or any other church, they are big institutions. You know, the Roman Catholic Church is massive. The Anglican Church has got different sides to it in different countries. And they're big, big institutions, really. But I think both of them, you know, as the two major Christian churches, I think both of them have got very good leaders at the moment. And I think that's a really good sign for things to come in the future for both Anglicans and for Roman Catholics as well.
A positive note to finish on. Thank you very much indeed, Paul Weasley and Claire Hamilton.